Please remember that the Lucy Pod is not a replacement for professional medical advice. If you have questions or concerns about your own amazing brain, please speak to a medical professional. I wish to acknowledge the traditional owners of the land on which I speak to you all today, the peoples of the Kulin Nation. Always was, always will be Aboriginal land.
Welcome back to the Lucy Pod, Mum and Dad. How are you?
I'm well.
Mum?
Tired. Very hot. 33 today. I don't like summer, but anyway, that's me.
All right, so I have compiled some questions from parents of ADHD children, and I want you both to answer them based on your experiences of being parents to me, an ADHD child. But before I ask those questions, I want you to both answer these two that I have. The first one is, what is the hardest thing about having an ADHD child? And the second one is, what is the best thing about having an ADHD child? So I'll let you go first, Dad.
Oh, thanks. That's a really hard one.
Because there's none.
The hardest thing, I don't know. I think it's probably having to cope with the way society, and I know I'm going to be, deals with people with ADHD. You know, or whether, you're jumping around, whether you're a bad parent, or whether if you decide, to go down the route of giving ADHD medication, it's like, oh, are you sure? Oh, what is the wrong thing? So that's the hardest.
And the best thing?
The best thing is, I think it's to have somebody who's full of energy and that there are so many solutions to help people who have ADHD that, if it's really a problem, there's most of the time there is a solution that would be adapted to the need of your family and, more importantly, your child.
Mm. And, Mum, for you, what's the best thing or the hardest thing?
The hardest is when your behaviour is funny and kooky and off the planet and I'm just not in the mood. And that could be behaviour of any child, but when you sort of seem to not have great control over certain things and you lose the plot, maybe. That's hard. But maybe. That's not regular. That's not often. But when you were little, it was hard. Yep. And the best thing is that, I think it's good because you're a particular ADHD kid who has a very positive outlook towards it. And I think a good thing about it is that, by having a child and talking about it and being open, we make society more aware about it. Mm. Yeah.
Nice.
And if I want to add something, yes, you get an ability to produce, to be full of ideas, which is wonderful.
Yeah.
Which is
creative,
wonderful.
On the run.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Keep which going,
is,
guys.
And a negative too is, like Dad said, people going on. It's people saying to me, sometimes colleagues and people, has she thought about going for a run when she gets up? And it's like, no. Medication changes her life, has changed her life, and therefore leave her alone and that's what she's happy with. And they're like, maybe they should try this. And you feel like saying, maybe you should try shutting up, because I can understand people want to offer an opinion, but it's the people who are not believers that medication is necessary and that's
but
frustrating.
It's not just that, I don't always – it's not because I'm ashamed of you, even if I am, kind of. But it's not that I'm ashamed, but often, when you are with colleagues or people and ADHD, a lot of people just say, over-diagnose, over this and blah, 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 And like I was saying, I don't say anything because I don't want to start an argument.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's like, if you know somebody who has ADHD.
Or you live with somebody.
You know that if they could modify some aspect of the way they interact with you or the way they behave, they would. Mm. Unfortunately, they cannot.
Mm. And what's interesting too is that, we know that ADHD can have comorbidity with
anxiety.
With anxiety, depression. And with autism or spectrum disorder. And it's funny when people tell you that their child for example, has that, has autism, no one says, are you sure?
Yeah.
Oh, no, 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 yeah. They don't. Or there's a people say there's an overdiagnosis, but yeah, they accept that it exists.
Yes.
Whereas with ADHD, there's less willingness to accept.
I think as the symptoms are seen as more annoying, like they're a nuisance, more than like with autism, it is quite, it's quite different. It is very extreme. They really do struggle with emotions. With ADHD, I think it's just seen as being a petulant child. Yeah,
you know me, the contrarian. I'm going to go, I can't help myself. No, but I was reading something, I think it was in The Age, it was a few months ago, saying that, you know, quite a few psychiatrists had written an open letter saying that, you know, they were concerned that maybe, especially after COVID, ADHD might have been overdiagnosed. Mm. And that is something that...
But with adults too, wasn't it?
But that could be definitely a reality.
Yeah.
However, we can't deny the fact that it's something.
Someone
that exists,
who's actually been diagnosed is telling
you. And where were the overdiagnoses? Yeah. You know, where was it? Where did it happen?
Okay, so now we're going to get into the actual question. So this person asked, so obviously these questions are just from your experiences. Don't take this as necessarily as advice, but what are the signs of ADHD in a child? Like, what are the signs I should look out for with my kid? Which can be very difficult because some kids...
Well, I think from the day you started... It's really hard because you were not a typical ADHD child. Like, you were very, very calm as a baby till you were one. You slept well. You didn't cry much. You were a great sleeper. Mm. And then when you started walking, the activity all began. Mm. And you were a lot more, you were active, but you still were a good sleeper. Mm-hmm. So, you know, but I think I remember when you were quite little, you used to go into trances.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently that's a sign of it. Yes. You used to sort of...
Yep.
Focus, and we'd have to snap you out of it,
and it could take a bit of time.
Quite a bit of time, and I think you still do that occasionally.
Yeah.
So that, and then I think whenever you've got a childcare or a school telling you, you know, they're being difficult, it's hard, or there's certain things not working right within the socialising element, and they can be disruptive, then I think you need to look into it. Mm. But because you were a girl too, people focused on it a lot more. Had you been a boy, it was like, oh, well, little boys, you know.
You know how they are.
You know how they are. Mm. So I think really it's any behaviour that you just think is different from the other kids around you, friends, children, and the feedback you get from childcare and from school is important. Yeah.
Dad, what about you?
It's the same.
Yeah.
Basically, because with personal observation, because you are first and only child, you know, you can't compare with anything else. So he's just talking to a professional or people who have, in certain settings, says,
who have seen a lot of ADHD kids.
Or behave on what is considered normal behaviour
and what is
an atypical behaviour.
And also, I think when you were at home with just us and grandma and grandpa back then, when you had all the attention on you, you were not a problem. You were not jumping around.
No.
It's when you were in a noisy environment. That's why when I, you know, we chose primary school and we moved primary school, I had to make sure it wasn't a primary school with 80 kids in one big area and three teachers.
Mm.
We had to be sure that there were certain things that were done in a certain way. And that's, I think, what's important.
And it's hard because as kids, especially young kids, and being inattentive when you are 5 or 6 it's or normal. 3 or 4, it's really normal. So it's really hard to say what is normal behaviour or what is not, and or what to look for.
Next, ask away, daughter.
So Mum, where do you start once you think that your child is ADHD? Like, you're like, this, I think my child's ADHD. Where do you go? What needs to happen?
Well, because we were in a predicament where we could afford it financially, we went through the children's hospital, a psychologist when you were in grade prep, and she didn't feel you had, we could diagnose you with ADHD at the time because you were too young.
How old was I?
You were 5.
Okay.
And there were times, like the fact that you were okay when you were away from school and that, it made it, it complicated the matter. Yeah. But most parents have to wait. If they can't afford it, they have to wait. I think the children's hospital is probably the best place going through there and or going through a paediatrician.
Mm.
There's a lot of centres, like eventually when you were older and we needed to medicate you, we went through complete children's care and that was, you know, you had paediatricians there and neuropsychs. Later on, you know, we had assessments every few years and then we found it quite difficult to get a neuropsych who wanted to analyse the whole situation because all the neuropsychs were a bit
funny.
And I wonder if they were really neuropsychs because when we found the female, the lady who did, you know, do it, she was quite happy.
She was so keen.
I mean, it wasn't cheap.
No.
Back then it was $1,500 for the assessment. These days it's about $3,000, $4,000.
Yep.
And not every parent,
can afford.
Not every family can afford that and have to wait.
Even with a health plan?
Yeah.
I don't think a mental health, I mean, now with the whole ADHD being involved in the NDIS, it might be different, but a mental health plan its own, I don't think it's for learning disabilities and neuro. I think it's for like, I think it's for like depression, anxiety, like mental illnesses.
Well, things that are,
NCCD now, I mean, a teacher, it's what we have at school, where as a teacher we can report if we see a child displaying a certain level of disability, whether it or a child displaying ADHD or autism, we can actually, if we provide enough evidence of the child's behaviour, then the government says, well, we have a right to do that, which I think is a bit naughty because it's the government's way of saying we have fewer psychiatrists and psychologists out there analysing. We leave it up to the teachers.
And who are we to diagnose somebody with ADHD?
Well, we're not diagnosing, we're just letting observing and letting people know that we're concerned.
Yeah.
And often, you know, it's complicated, especially when families don't realise it.
Yes.
I think that's the hardest. And they say, what are you saying about my child?
Yeah.
So really, I think if you can afford it financially, it's a quicker road and everything's a lot smoother in a way. And if you are not, you have to wait a long time, like with many mental health issues, you have to wait. Yeah.
Dad?
No, nothing, Mum said it all. I'm happy to answer.
Well, she was the admin person for it.
Yeah.
So the third one, Dad, is what are good activities or hobbies to foster and encourage an ADHD child to pursue? Because there's that thing of, have you tried karate?
Well, I think you have to encourage any activity. It's not about you. It's about letting your child decide.
Physical exhaustion.
She didn't need to.
Didn't
need to. Well, you know, we did a lot of things together, but I think it's really letting your child find what they like. It's just quite easy. I mean, for some time, physical exhaustion is a good thing, but for you, it wasn't that. You know, I think when you had your journal, you could write in your journal. When you had your computer, when we were young, where you just had, you remember, with your computer, you had only five games and not connected to the internet.
I was a kept child.
If you want to go on your computer to write a story, you can,
When she was smaller, and she had one thing you did have were very poor motor skills. So we tried to encourage activities to improve those skills. And by improving those skills, you focused a bit more.
Yeah.
You know, like Play-Doh and things where you could use your hands. And
you tried Lego with me.
No, we did all of that, but you were not that interested.
I wasn't.
I remember having days with you where, but, and you know, because I didn't know any better, I think it's probably the behavior of any child. Mm-hmm. You know, we would do painting. Yeah. I would set up the painting. It would take me half an hour. You would do it for 10 minutes. And then I had to, no, but don't feel sorry or apologize. No, it's not bad. It is what it is. And then afterwards, you would want to do Play-Doh. So let's set up the Play-Doh. And then you want to play Lego. But it's not, I don't think it is. Maybe I didn't know whether it's ADHD or not, or it's just...
Because kids move tasks sometimes. Like
even but I think, you know, when you wanted to dance and sing, let you dance and sing. If you want to, go into your bedroom, listen to some music, go crazy, let them, if it's possible.
However, we were still very lucky because when it was 7:30, you were put into bed. Yeah. And even as a baby, you'd sleep three times a day. Mm. We had sleepless nights. Babies always cry. But when you were older, it was just like you went to bed and you loved sleeping. Yeah. Do you remember?
But I think it's we established a routine. We were stringent. Even if you were not tired, sorry, darling, we loved you. But in the afternoon, because I was at home as well with mum, we wanted to have a bit of peace. So it was like, if you can sleep for an hour or even lie down, and you were always happy to lie down for an hour.
And play.
At 7:30 was like, we love you, but can you please disappear from our lives?
It's time to go to bed.
It's time.
Yeah.
Trent, you might want to cut out this silence because the dogs are barking.
Yeah. Do you want me to do something with the dogs?
Okay.
You should have gone into the bedroom.
Anyway, love that you get to hear this, Trent. Okay, the next question, this one's a bit hard, is... should I medicate my ADHD child? Are they too young? So I'll let you answer that one, Dad, to start.
I think it's up to the individual. Mm. We were just talking about it before.
Yes.
And I think you have to do what you think is right for your child. And I can understand, I was telling you, yes, I understand why people have reservation about giving medication. And like we know from a previous podcast we did together that we had our reservation. And it's up to you to decide what is the best. You've got other alternative ways. But I think trying is not going to damage your kids.
No.
That is what people, I think, idea that suddenly you try, even if you try for a year, 6 months, or whatever time you decide to try for, if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. You move on. Mm. But it's like, I am going to give medication, I am going to ruin my child, or blah, blah, blah. No, it's not like that.
No.
It's not like that.
No.
So give it a go if that's what you feel it. That you want to do and see.
And it depends also on the kid's age. Like if your kid's
That's right.
I think if your kid's a teenager, they can maybe have more of a say.
We waited and we asked you. And we told you.
We said if at any time you don't want this medication, you can stop.
Stop, yeah.
But I'm glad in a way you weren't diagnosed till you were in high school because it took away that decision of having to medicate you in a way because as I've taught a bit of primary while you were little and I used to see kids who were on ADHD meds and then they were also on meds to make them sleep because the ADHD meds kept them awake and then they'd come to school like little zombies and I was like, oh my goodness, this is what it does.
Yeah.
But that was just one
anecdotal sample.
Yeah. Mm. So, but I think by the time you're in high school, it's...
I also get a say.
You have a say.
Yeah.
And I think it's great when parents say, no, but we want to try this and we want to try that first and that. But there comes a time when you also... I think it would be good to try the meds because then you ask the child, how do you feel when you take the meds?
Yeah.
And often children will say to you,
80% of them will say, great.
Things are clear.
I feel like sometimes maybe parents feel like it's the easy way out, but if it is, then so be it. It's like people,
well, if your child had cancer, you would give them
whatever
treatment
and
chemo and therapies.
Because,
for other mental health issues
people take things. And you get a sore knee. You take something.
Yeah.
So,
and if your child had depression.
If your wiring is a little bit faulty, why not to try something that will help that?
Yep. Mm. Yep. The next one, how do I manage my child's ADHD meltdowns and explosions? I think this person's asking because children.
I'm hopeless.
I think it's very hard to manage meltdowns, whether they're ADHD or not.
I think it's just very hard.
You have to just remind yourself.
Yeah.
This is ADHD. This is
a child.
Maybe not her. Mm. Sometimes it's just her, but this is just her inability to cope with what's going on.
Yeah, when you get stuck, you know, when you get stuck, it's really, really, really hard. And the problem, usually we try to, I mean, hopefully we've tried in general to be patient, and but some days you are not. Some days you're tired. Some days you're not in the mood.
Sometimes you're not regulated, and your child's not regulated.
That's right.
It's like,
no, that's right. So any moment of a dysregulation, we should say, more than meltdown. Patience.
Tantrums are hard. Meltdowns are hard.
Now, dysregulation.
Dysregulation is difficult. Now, the next one, which kind of was about the medication, what do I do if my child reacts poorly to ADHD medication? Now, poorly, I assume they would mean if it doesn't work or it gives them a side effect. Obviously, you know, side effects aren't permanent. So, Mum, what do you do?
Oh, I think you have to be in constant contact with your, pediatrician when they're young, and when they're over 18, your their psychiatrist, or they have, and I think you have to, the pediatrician might, you know, the dose had to be adjusted for you a number of times when you would take it, different times of day, and sometimes, you know, Ritalin worked, but then we tried Concerta.
And it worked better.
Then Ritalin made you anxious, so you couldn't take Ritalin. So it's an ever-changing thing, like with any medication.
Yeah.
I really think, well, you have to be with a paediatrician.
Yeah, you can't just...
To have it prescribed. Your GP cannot do it, and I think you need to have a good paediatrician to guide you, and I think that's the whole thing, yeah.
Dad?
Yeah, I think, again, spot on. I think, again, you've got a lot of people. I mean, I shouldn't say a lot. You have some people who think, you know, they try once or twice the medication, and then, and I saw it doesn't work.
Yeah.
Well, it doesn't work like that in science. You know, you try, you take a little bit more of this, or you take away, or you change when you're having it, or you change the dose. You know, you try and you get different medications.
Mm.
You have to persevere a little bit.
Yeah.
Okay. So I would say, I know I said that you don't have to take it if you think it's not working, but try to persevere for at least 3 months, 4 months, or something like that.
Yeah. Next question. So this one, this person sounds very frustrated. They were like, any advice on how to manage this? I feel like my kid gets so, so overwhelmed when things don't go her way or when things get hard. She lashes out or avoids as coping mechanisms, which obviously isn't great. Anyone find parenting techniques or strategies that increase frustration and tolerance? Because people with ADHD tend to struggle when things are difficult and they don't have a reward. We tend to... give up on them, whereas that's why video games are so great for people with ADHD, because it's instant rewards, whereas certain things aren't. And
I mean, it must be really hard if you're a single parent or if you're the parent who's always at home with the children. And let's not forget that some families have two or three kids with ADHD, like they have two or three kids with autism and other conditions. So, it's a really hard one. And because... we shared the load with Dad, and Dad worked from home. We managed it in a particular way, but I think it would be really challenging. The meltdowns, I guess you've got to let them go, like when you see toddlers having tantrums at the supermarket.
Yeah.
You've got to sort of let them calm down and maybe, again, speaking with paediatricians and psychologists who can give you support. Techniques. Today, with the internet, you know, I'm sure there's so much, even on YouTube, discussions with doctors where you can, and other parents who can show you.
This podcast.
Things, podcasts. And, so it doesn't always have to be, you know, and maybe joining support groups. Are there family support groups for ADHD kids and talking with other parents? Yeah.
And we're again spot on, but respite as well.
Yeah.
Sometime when possible.
Yep.
You know, sometimes it's not always possible, but it's important to be a good parent. You don't have to be self-sacrificing at every moment.
Mm-hmm.
You need moment to think, you know what? I need to refocus on myself, just to be a better parent.
Yep. So and people have so much parenting guilt. I felt like you're actually a better parent than you being burnt out with your kid who's also burning you out, and then you lose it with them. Because
grandparents are great.
Yes.
And if you can afford it, if it is within your, you know, childcare. Like if you've got a very demanding ADHD toddler, you might need that 1 or 2 days of childcare.
Yeah.
So you can go back to work, or so you can just get a break. Yeah. And
it's not
again,
yeah,
again holiday program. It doesn't have to be the whole holiday, but one day or two, or you know, it's really hard because you.
Parenting's just hard.
Oh, yeah, parenting's just hard because...
It's the best and hardest thing.
This, you know, here you're talking about an issue that can happen to
anyone.
Any parent.
Yeah.
It's not specific to ADHD.
Yeah.
You know.
The worst is when you have, you know, parents and friends with kids who are quiet and reserved and controlled, and they just don't understand how your child can be...
Yeah.
So demanding, and that's...
And then when their kid becomes a teenager, they become
some
stay beautiful.
Yes,
beautiful. But sometimes
Look
you're secretly
me.
Wishing.
Look at me.
Oh, yeah, you wish. Okay, the next one. How do I get my child help at school? They were recently diagnosed and they are starting year 7. What do I do?
You need to provide all the written information.
Mm.
You need a letter from the diagnosis and so forth, and... With the NCCD, which...
What does that stand for?
Oh, I cannot remember.
Okay, I'm going to put it in the Catholics.
NCCD. It's a school thing.
I don't know.
Well, at my school, for example, you know, letting teachers know, speaking with... a lot of schools have a psychologist or they have someone learning a special... What is it? When
an
a teacher
aid?
Is special...
Special education teacher.
Special ed and aides and... Yeah, and just providing, because I find often we get kids coming at year 7 and we don't even know that they have issues. We don't know what the issues are. Families feel like, well, we can't tell them because then they'll judge our child.
No, but that's not what it is.
So I think that openness is really, really important. Mm. Yeah.
Well, exactly the same thing. You know, provide all the documentation you have.
There's never
too
much.
Because usually... your doctor, your pediatrician,
we'll
or whatever
you
say,
yeah.
will give you and they will give you something for school. And schools have resources as well.
Yeah.
And what happened, for example, at my school is when you get a student who has been diagnosed with ADHD, the teachers who will teach that that student will receive the documentation about what the issues and how. You know, what you have to be, how to manage them, what to do, a few things in class to help them to manage their learning or to help them regulate their behavior. And
that's right.
Next one. Are there any apps or calendars or systems that we can use as a family to help organize our ADHD child?
Well, off the bat, I would say, when possible, stay off too much. Phones and things like that.
Screen time.
It doesn't help.
A Google Calendar? No.
I think it's got its place, but it doesn't help. It doesn't help. Mm. Screen time has been really linked.
But I guess this is for parents.
No, I do understand, but it was just a bit of a disclaimer. Dad the contrarian.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm. So
we didn't have anything like that, did we? What did we have?
We had a calendar.
An app. I'm saying.
Oh,
an app.
No.
We had a calendar and we tried to sort. And I think routine is so important.
Yeah.
Routine meaning that you.
People are so put off by routine. They're like, I want my child to be free and like.
No, and that you go out on a particular night. Like when you were little, we'd visit people, and by 9 o'clock it was like late. We're going home, and people would say, "Oh, come on, don't let the baby rule your life." And we're like, "No, we want to be able to sleep tonight," and we stuck to the routine.
And we'll do what we want, thanks.
Yeah, and I think it's the same with toddlers and with. Primary school kids, it's important.
I would say, especially when they're very young, no need to have a phone or anything.
No.
Even when they're teenagers, until they are 15 or 16, have like a calendar.
Yeah, or like a bulletin board. A bulletin board
and put things, you know.
Or the fridge.
I know it's very primary.
No, you can see
the teacher, but I think if you can stay a little bit away from the phone, it's not a bad thing. Apps, sorry, I think apps have been oversold
as
the solution for everything, the iPad and blah, blah, blah.
I agree.
It was going to, and now.
I downloaded so many organizational apps, and I got bogged down into making them look pretty.
They didn't organize me at all.
They were terrible.
So I would say stay away from apps and stay away, if you can, stay away from the phone.
Next and final question. What is something that you wish you were told about raising an ADHD child? I was going to ask another really difficult one, but I thought that one's heavy. I'll ask that one afterwards.
Yeah, you can.
I wish I was told.
Knowing back then it was not as diagnosed.
I think I wish I was told to not worry too much about the impact you had on other kids. It's just the way it is. You know, I used to worry when school would say, oh, she's been really difficult and she's done this, this and this and this. And then I'd find out that there were other kids without ADHD.
Who were just destructive.
Destructive and disruptive.
Yes.
I think it was, being able to just say to some parents, get lost. I can't do anything about it when they're at school. You know, when she's at school or
he's
at
school. That's your job.
No, the parents, your child. I remember I had a parent who wanted me to meet her for coffee so we could work out a play scheme for you and her daughter. And we could say they can spend so much time playing and then they have to move on. And I was like, this is not going to work. Primary school kids are not going to listen to this.
No.
So I think it depends on the school you go to.
Yeah.
You send your child to that, you know, where there's parents with the most support and knowledge about it. And maybe, I think that.
What about you, Dad?
I really don't know. I really
don't
know.
You're just an expert. You just get it. No, I'm joking.
No, but I've got to be honest. I never found your ADHD too challenging.
Traumatic.
You know,
I'm a well child. Well,
No, you're pain.
I'm not suffering.
But because you were so much like me, I had a lot more indulgence when you were young. Now less. Now a lot less. But it was never. I think.
Also, wasn't
how the only thing that I find it hard is the fact that because you were a bit not like the others, you know, atypical, let's say. Well, it was hard for you to form friendships.
This
is just really something that used to really upset me. You were fine. You know,
yes,
the thing
I was fine.
It was us, me, was like having, you know, I was like, oh, my poor little baby.
And your friendships were always with kids who didn't display the same behaviours but always had some
but
kind
egged
of...
But on that sort of...
Had other issues of their own.
Yes. Yeah.
You never just had, you know, the basic happy-go-lucky. Because you were a happy-go-lucky.
Oh, yeah, I was never...
Kid, you were fine.
But I was saying, I think it wasn't traumatic because I was never, like, an unwell or distressed child. I was never...
You were always really positive.
Whereas if maybe if you had a kid who was really not doing well, who had anxiety or depression, it would just be really difficult as a parent to see that.
And saying that, you know...
Oh, it'd be terrible.
I know I told you before, you know, I think your podcast is absolutely fantastic.
Thanks. And this is the only time he says nice things to me, by the way.
I do recognize and realize the fact that, you know, we might sound like we are positive and everything, and we have to recognize that it can be incredibly challenging
and depressing
for some people and isolating. Because we had the means and the luck, you know, the means to help you and the luck that you were not, you know, overly, I don't want to use the word difficult,
but difficult,
challenging.
Difficult.
Difficult, it was always fine. It was never a massive issue. But saying that, we know.
Now, the final question. Now, I was going to debate whether or not to put this in because you guys might find it difficult and people listening might be like, oh, if they answer yes, that sounds really mean.
Mm-hmm.
If you had a wand and you could get rid of my ADHD, would you?
For your sake, in some situations, it would be good if you could minimise it because you would, I think you would have found school a lot easier.
Yeah.
Not that
you know, certain things and that. And, I think it, not get rid of it, not obliterate it, but minimise it for certain times and situations if we could.
Well,
when I tell you I love having it, you're like,
No, but you like having it because you're taking your medication.
But even when I don't take my medicine, I didn't take them.
That's fine. Mm. But let's see long term if you want to take it.
Yeah.
So it's easy for you to say, oh, I'm loving having it because you have the cure.
I have the treatment.
You're right. You have the treatment.
Great band.
Kenya, yes. but imagine if you don't have the treatment.
Yeah. And you have a really terrible prediction.
So I don't mind you having, I mean, for me, like I was saying, it was not, so I would say no, I wouldn't, but.
Who knows?
Well, we would be a bit richer because with all the money we spend.
Yeah.
I'm a burden.
No, but it is a difficulty. And I know you want people to feel positive about it, but we can't just say, you know, it's just like saying, you know, oh, I don't want to say anything controversial, so I'm thinking about
Also, we wouldn't have to medicate you.
Yeah.
And I think any medication has its risks.
Yes. You were saying that the other day.
That's right.
ADHD, you know, I read things about ADHD medication, long-term effects on the heart and this and that. And maybe one day we'll discover that it has had, so the fact that you wouldn't need medicating and you wouldn't, that would be a godsend. So for that reason, I would say let's get rid of it if we could wave our magic wand.
I would say the same, but we have been lucky.
We have
been very, very lucky.
You don't
lucky.
Have a depressive tendency. You're very positive.
Yeah.
In fact, sometimes too positive
maybe,
for my life.
Maybe a bit Delulu, but you know
bit.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah, but you'd rather that than just like a depressed child.
No, and you know what I think is really good? Lucy likes me. You should have done a podcast.
I'm like looking at you, like, just keep going.
And I think you know what is fantastic. You know you have been lucky.
Yes.
And through your podcast and through involvement with the ADHD Foundation, you're giving back.
Yes.
Yeah.
You're
yes.
giving back.
Because I know it's not easy. It's not.
You know, so you're trying, with your means and everything to give back and to help a little bit to your community.
I just don't want
to
scare people. Because I don't want it to be
No, I know. But it's hard to find the balance between...
Oh, yeah.
And I think you've got the right balance.
I try,
Not to be delusional.
It's great. Like I was saying on my very special episode that I did with How To ADHD, she was saying, you know how there'll be people who are like, I'm ADHD, I forget to pay bills, my car was impounded, I don't have any money, and then you're here telling me that it's a superpower. Like, this has ruined my life.
Yeah.
This is not a superpower. This is disabling me.
Yeah.
And you're here like, yeah, but it's so fun. And I'm like, hyper-focused. Yeah. Like, I can't pay my bills, you
and
know?
And also, you were never a teenager who was a risk taker.
No.
Like, I remember you telling me about certain people you knew and friends who by the time
they
were teenagers, they were doing things that were quite risky.
Really dangerous.
And quite dangerous. and fortunately,
and Johnny.
You weren't like that. So, you know, and we didn't know you weren't going to be like that.
No.
You're still quite very sensible your dad. And, you know, so we've been fortunate in that regard. But, yeah, so I think parents would prefer not to have an ADHD child just because of all the little.
Well, you don't know how they're going to be.
Come with it.
No. Yeah. Oh, look.
I mean, you'd rather me have
remember
this.
Remember, we knew somebody. You remember that from they had a shop and their son, you know, was ADHD and he was really, really, really bad.
Yes, we did. We did, but their son was very their child was extremely active.
Yes.
To the point where medication was necessary
at
a young age for the child
bouncing
to get sleep.
The ADHD.
And mum had one view on it and dad had another view. Dad was not as not in agreement and felt that it was just behavioural. So, yeah. So we knew a few people who had different circumstances to ours, yeah. Mm.
But we were not in agreement, you know, the two of us. Because
all the time.
Because like I said, you were so much like me as a child that for me it was just almost normal behaviour.
He was like, no, she's not ADHD. No,
she's just like me.
I did
like
that
me.
Too. Next episode.
Yeah, next episode.
Okay, any parting words for parents? I know it's going to sound super American for parents who are like in it right now, who are sitting in their closet in tears. And
I hope that it gets easier for you.
Mm-hmm.
It became easy for us, and what Lucy does with the foundation and the podcast, you can see that she's sort of, you know, she's dealing with it quite well. I do feel, I feel for the parents who don't have that and who have children who present with depression and anxiety, where I think that must be so difficult, and you need the medication for the ADD and the medication for the anxiety. So I don't want to sound, you know, all cocky and, oh, it can be a
dark.
Very, very dark, difficult place. And I think, yeah, you know, I do feel for you if that's where you are, the whole thing.
Dad, any parting words?
Parting words is just...
hang in there, buddy.
No. Really, support. Look for support. I mean, like Astrid said, you've got the Lucy Pod, you've got other resources, the ADHD Foundation, and so much more on ADHD, that look for support, you know. If your doctor is like, no, he's fine and blah, 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 find another one. I'm not saying that you have to find a doctor till he tells you with somebody.
Get a second opinion.
Even a third opinion, and then work with what you've been told. It might not be ADHD. It might be something else. You know, but I think if you can afford it, try to have an early diagnosis. Just to make your life a bit easier and to help you make other decision and look for support. You know, 30, 40 years ago, there was nothing.
It wasn't a thing.
Now there is too much.
TikTok. Ruining it all for us.
Or just
the Lucy Pod,
ruining it for everybody.
For all of us. Well, thanks, Mum and Dad, for being on the pod. And just I want to thank you guys so much for being such good parents. I want to thank you both for being good parents and for being on the pod. And I'll have you guys on again
soon. That's not how you felt earlier this afternoon, is it?
Yeah, well, I was emotionally dysregulated.
Yeah.
Anyway, you can cut this out, Trent, maybe. I don't know. You can maybe
no,
this part out. Yeah, exposing me.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you for coming on the Lucy
Pleasure,
Pod.
Darling.
And
bye, all.
I was going to say, don't forget to like, follow, and subscribe. On Instagram, Facebook, Threads, YouTube, streaming on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, where you get all of your favorite podcasts. And I will see you in the next one. Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.